Praise be Jesus and Mary. So today we celebrate the beautiful solemnity of the body and blood of the Lord, Corpus Domini or Corpus Christi. Well, at every Holy Mass, we celebrate the Eucharist. Today's feast is dedicated in a specific way to the very mystery of the Eucharist, particularly the truth of the real presence of Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament, which is his greatest gift to us, his Church. The teaching of the Catholic Church on the Eucharist is essentially this, in a few words, that at the celebration of every Holy Mass, when the priest pronounces the words of institution, the words of consecration during the Eucharistic prayer, "This is my body, this is my blood," the substance of the bread and wine are changed into the substance of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. This miraculous change is known as transubstantiation. The whole substance of the bread and wine become the substance of Jesus Christ, his body and blood, soul and divinity. And this takes place through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the instrument of the lowly priest, acting in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. After the consecration, there is no more bread and wine, but only Jesus Christ, in person, really, truly, substantially, sacramentally present, while the accidents or appearances of bread and wine remain. Undoubtedly, the Eucharist is the greatest gift that Jesus has left to us in his Church. While other sacraments are channels of divine grace for our sanctification, in the Eucharist we have the very source, the very author of every grace, Jesus Christ himself. And for this reason, the Church affirms that the Eucharist is the source and summit of the whole Christian life. Or as St. Thomas Aquinas would put it, it's the perfection of the whole spiritual life and the end to which all the sacraments tend. The Eucharist is more than just a part of our spiritual lives, part of the Christian life. It is its very heart and center. To Jesus in the Eucharist, therefore, we must always gravitate, you could say. We need the Eucharist. While the world plummets deeper and deeper into the pit of sin and death, misery, immorality, insanity, the Lord of the universe remains in our tabernacles, on our altars, inviting all of us to himself, to spend time with him, to be nourished by him, to be healed by him. "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest," Jesus says to us in the Eucharist. He doesn't ask us to do a whole lot. He doesn't ask us to spend hours upon hours, in prayer each day or even each week, but 1 hour, at least 1 hour, once a week, if possible. If we can't do 1 hour, maybe half hour. If we can't do a half hour, maybe a quarter of an hour. At least something like that we can do every week if we manage our time wisely and prudently. Our Lord asks us, however, to try to spend an hour with him every week. This goes back to the Garden of Gethsemane, when our Lord had lamented, of the fact that his disciples there close by, Peter, James, and John, were asleep. They couldn't even spend an hour with our Lord in prayer. "Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" Jesus had to lament. May this lament of our Lord's not have to be repeated to us. We who can, most likely, I hope, find that time to pray with our Lord 1 hour a week. And I should make a pitch while I'm speaking about this. Here at the chapel, we have plenty of adoration slots to fill. And you're most welcome, to sign up. Take a sheet in the back of the church, bring it home with you, prayerfully consider, making an hour a week. Maybe you could try experiment. Maybe try it for a month or so. and then make a full commitment after that. But let us know if you're interested. And if you can't do it here, you know, maybe in your own home parish or some other parish close to your home that has adoration, it's the greatest blessing that we have. And ideally, every parish should have perpetual adoration, or at least adoration during the day. You know, at least like what Pope John Paul II, you know, had hoped. You know, I'm sure you know, so many would love that. In any case, do consider that. Make a holy hour every week if possible. You know, whatever you can do. Unfortunately, many Catholics do not know sufficiently well the beautiful teaching of the Church on the Eucharist due to, you know, poor catechesis. You know, it's amazing that young people and young adults can be raised, you know, Catholics and not know much at all about the teaching about the Eucharist, the real presence. Jesus is really here in the Eucharist. They don't even know that. It's amazing. You know, and that's a great misfortune indeed, because it's the central, you know, teaching of our faith, you could say. You know, everything, you know, depends upon, is founded upon this truth of Jesus present in the Eucharist. Too many Catholics also, though they might believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and receive him in Holy Communion regularly and worthily, you know, do so, however, perhaps with a lifeless spirit of routineness, you know, with a certain coldness or indifference, as though Jesus were not really present. And I think all of us can fall into that routineness. We go up and receive Jesus every Sunday or every day, you know, and we don't really recognize our Lord and really love him in every single Holy Communion. We don't really prepare our hearts and souls well for that wonderful encounter. You know, this is true for me, it might be true for you, but we should try to receive each communion as if it were a first, only, and last Holy Communion, because it very well could be our last one. Sadly, Jesus' lament, once expressed to St. Faustina, as recorded in her diary, is true for countless communicants. "When I come to a human heart in Holy Communion," Jesus says, "my hands are full of all kinds of graces which I want to give to the soul, but souls do not even pay attention to me. They leave me to myself and busy themselves with other things. They treat me as a dead object." May we never treat Jesus in this way. But thankfully, too, there are wonderful things happening, you know, in the Church today. You know, particularly, you know, more and more people are becoming enamored of the God of the Eucharist. Many converts come into the Catholic Church, especially because of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Christ is forming, you know, an army of Eucharistic souls, souls who are sanctified by making Eucharistic visits devoutly, holy hours and holy communions received lovingly, you know, one after the other, being transformed into great saints of the Eucharist. All the saints, you know, were enamored of the Eucharist, without exception. Adoration chapels are more and more appreciated as real oases for souls hungering for a deeper union with God, with our Eucharistic Lord and King. And yet all of this, you know, this is quiet, powerful, and necessary Eucharistic revolution is something that all of us are called to be a part of and to bring into effect Jesus' burning desire. "I've come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. Set ablaze with the fire of divine love from the Eucharistic heart of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament." Happily for us, the mystery we celebrate today in a very special way is continued at every Holy Mass and wherever the Eucharist is reserved, whether hidden in the tabernacle or exposed in the monstrance on the altar, Jesus remains to be the Emmanuel, God with us, and he unfailingly keeps his promise made to his Church in the Eucharist. "Behold, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." May we be supremely grateful for the inestimable gift the Lord has given to us of the Eucharist, and center our whole lives, you know, on him, on Jesus really, truly, holy, substantially present in the most blessed sacrament. And let us ask this grace, as we should ask for all graces, through the intercession of Our Lady, Mother of the Eucharist, Our Lady of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Fructum ventris tui.